This is RSVB Update episode 461, recorded Friday, April 18th, 2014. Welcome to Omashu. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us on, once again, another episode of RSVB Update. We're here this week, 461st episode. Just going to chat with you guys between the two of us as to what exactly cabbages have to do with things. So, how are you doing this week?
Well, it's okay. I've been okay. I think it's one of those disdain things of how Jackass just hate cabbages for whatever reason.
Well, let's remember, the players chose this update.
Why was that even a choice in the first place, if you think about it? Why cabbages? Yeah. I mean, did someone in Omashu just decided it was bad?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Cabbages have always been a central part of Jayek's culture, whether it be in quests or whatnot, in huge cabbage fields, and... Somebody just does not like cabbage that started that, and that just became a thing at Jagex, in kind of the same way that Bob the Cat did. So, anyways, what he's talking about is the quote-unquote spring event between Marimbo, Brassica Prime, and the Godless. Marimbo, of course, being the monkey god cabbage, or Brassica Prime, rather, being the god of the cabbages, and, of course, the Godless, the atheist of RuneScape. This is the event that they get.
Okay.
So, before we get too far down this track, I just want to say that I find it interesting that, first things first, the players chose a cabbage update over an Easter update. That's very strange, you know, given we've had so many Easter updates in the past. And, it's no secret that I prefer those. And secondly, I think it's also interesting with the with Easter being such a highly religious holiday that it is, that they choose at this point to bring the Godless faction into something.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know if there's an ulterior motive of that, saying that, you know, this is happening on... started happening on this weekend, two complete opposites of each other, you know, the Godless faction finally getting to participate in a world event, while those in the real world are celebrating Easter and whatnot, and that just seems a very interesting clash that Jax would choose to bring that faction in with this event. But nonetheless, let's just remember that this update was chosen by the players. It was not my vote. I don't know if you voted for cabbages or Easter.
What did I vote for? Jeez. I don't remember what I voted for. I really don't.
It was one of the early ones in January, so it is a far way in the past, considering we are 4 months in on the polls. So did you check this update out, or do you want to quiz me on what exactly goes
well,
on?
Well, from what I know, you kind of fight another group and you actually go through a little gauntlet with cabbages through a field of monkeys. And if you get hit, you get in trouble. And later on, someone wins.
Yeah, that's pretty much all it is. it's the classic playground type of game, you know, where you tag and you become a zombie. That is essentially what Jagex has implemented here, in that if you get killed by one of the gorillas, you become one of them, and then you have to kill other people through setting traps or cornering them and making them run through hazards and whatnot. So that is the main point of this update. And I will say, from my perspective, this is one of the most annoying RuneScape updates that I have ever played.
Why? What happened?
Well, I mean, you have to run and avoid hazards, first off. And secondly, you're getting chased by gorillas, both NPC and player controlled at the beginning. So it's not exactly the easiest thing to do if you're dealing with some sort of server lag. That's issue number one, such that you might misclick through a firewall or something like that. And if you do and you misclick to go back, that might not be registered in time to save you. So that was something that was really annoying on my part. And in general, these sort of updates that rely on moving your character around to avoid traps and hazards, they just really don't play well with me. And, I mean, there needs to be a better mechanic in place for this. And I know we're limited by the engine at hand, but I don't think it's right to have players rely on how good their connection is in order to be successful at an event.
Okay.
That's my biggest complaint about this. Otherwise, it's pretty simple, which I guess when you're dealing with gorillas and cabbages, that's what you can expect. Once again, I don't know whether this is a slam at the godless or not, but they're involved in this, so take it for what it's worth. Also, the three featured skills in this are herbler, farming, and mining. So that's in there. You can also get bonus XP. I don't know. Overall, I'm just not overly enthused about this update. How about you?
Honestly, I haven't even bothered yet.
And that's the thing. It's just so damn simple that there is no point in going over there to do this if you're high-leveled in these skills. Anyways, continue.
I didn't really bother with it. I just didn't have really the time to do it because I've been just really so busy this whole week. But, some of the rewards is a cosmetic thing that you have to see the side to automatically destroy seeds when they drop in combat for double the farming XP, but
horrible
usually
choice.
You usually want to keep the seeds that you want and grow them. Patch bombs instant clear a farming patch for a full amount of XP. Items noted, but I think it doesn't take that long to clear a fully grown.
And that's the thing.
The Slayer VIP.
Just wait, let me say something important about the patch bomb. The patch bomb totally defeats the purpose of farming. I'm done.
And you got these Slayer tokens. Choice of two targets for your next first start of the next Slayer task. But that's why we have like a zillion points, at least for the ones who've been doing it for way too long.
Yeah, and I mean, the Slayer VIP token is interesting. Considering that the first choice won't consume the ticket and the second choice would consume the ticket. So you can have a choice and you might not even need to have these things go away. Then, of course, you got three cosmetic override capes, which...
One looks like someone spilled an ink block on your back. One looks like someone did a branding iron to your back, and one looks like some buffalo decided to run on your back and then roll in some red dust and roll on your cape and then he decided to put it back on.
Yeah.
I mean, so, well, people may like it.
Yeah, and I just want to know from anyone out there who voted for this update, do you think that this is what you were going to get when you chose cabbages and gorillas over a standard Easter update? That's something I'd like to ask everybody out there. Is this what you wanted? And if not, would you be more inclined to go for the traditional option next time? Because as I remember, it was a pretty convincing choice. Somewhere around 2/3 voted for this option. So let's hope people are enjoying this. Also, one thing I want to say regarding the XP. If any skill is relatively high leveled with this, you really don't want to purchase the bonus experience. for the Septate, because what happens is as your level goes higher, you get less bonus XP. So, like, for example, if you're 99 farming, like I am, you only get, what is it, I think like 77 bonus XP per one ticket that you change in. But on the other hand, if you were to do, say, have lower, like, 92 Slayer, you get more bonus XP. So, in a way, this update actually kind of discourages high levels in any one of these three skills from playing it. So, it's not a high-level update in my view, and, I mean, it would be nice to have just flat bonus experience across the board, but I guess that might be kind of too generous rather than having it scaling. So.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm just not impressed.
That's okay, Shane. You know, I think it's a with all the monkeys everywhere, someone's going to be screaming about their cabbages. Probably try and get it back into Omashu.
What exactly is that?
Oh, those who know it will get it.
Okay.
Don't worry about it, Shane.
Oh, and by the way, yes. Brassica Prime is winning with roughly upwards of 2.5 million. The Monkey God, 1.5, and the Godless, 1.1. So that's where the traction has been placed in this event.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not as though once this ends we're going to see any sort of major diminished power from this. I honestly think this is just a comic relief update, and that's probably why I don't like it. Because normally I'm not a fan of those types of things.
Okay.
Now,
yeah.
Any other thoughts from you on this?
Thoughts on me? If you like it, you know, go have fun. You know, if you enjoy it, but I just don't care for it right now. A lot of stuff I haven't been caring for. That's kind of bad.
Mm-hmm. And I think we felt the same way about last week's update, too, at least parts of it. So, I don't know if that's just us or whether it's something that's in general, which has been going on with April's updates, but... Maybe we just need to go to sleep for a bit. I don't know. All right.
I'd love to hear.
Well, I will say, I do think that this update, at the end of the day, could potentially provide for maybe some interesting thieving opportunities, thieving and agility, if this were put into game as a wider scale type minigame, in that you would be able to set traps and whatnot for people. You would also be able to use either your thieving to set them or your agility to avoid them. Maybe some combination of both in there. And this could provide some interesting agility XP. I mean, the reasons that you have mining, Herblore, I mean, mining Slayer and farming bonus XP is because Slayer, you can kill the things in there. Farming, you can plant a cabbage trap, and mining, you can mine these rocks as well. So that's kind of obvious where that went. But I think this whole idea of a zombie-type minigame could have been better applied to those two skills and maybe developed a bit more into something that we would see more use out of. Now, the final note before we move on to the perhaps most interesting part of this week's update is that you need 8 people for this to begin. So if you're trying to do this on a world in which is sparsely populated, you're going to have some trouble getting started. So the recommended world to probably do this on is World 2.
World 2!
So just keep that in mind if you're trying to figure out where to go.
Okay.
Alrighty. Next up.
Next up, we, actually, with this one here, we got the Guthix Butterfly Thyra back. We missed about that missed that part, Shane. So
yeah,
Dunthic's butterflies are back. There, you can catch up to 20 a day, gets some experience in your lowest skill. Other news: Ninja Team has added two new sets of level 90 degradable power gloves, the Ascension Grips for Rangers and the Celestial Hand Wraps for Mages. Can pick up from Order of Ascension members and Celestial Dragons, respectively, while on
That's
Slayer assignment for them.
And I will say that I get roughly 1,900 experience per butterfly, so that is upwards of almost 40k free dungeoneering experience per day. So I'm happy about that. Now, what about these gloves? You see, look at the prices here.
Okay.
They're 33 million each.
It's normal.
Yeah. I wouldn't
it's
mind getting
super expensive.
Assigned a Celestial Dragons as a Slayer task right now.
Remember, it freezes you.
No, yeah, I know.
Forget.
I wish there was a way to assign ourselves Celestial Dragons like you can assign yourself other things, so that'd be good. But all I'll say is that it will be interesting to see what happens with the prices in terms of these gloves, considering the gloves that came from the Harbinger of Tuska at the end of last year. Those have dropped in a good amount of value since then. So if anything, these probably might be priced a bit too high, given that. Oh, that's interesting. Did you know that Celestial Hand Wraps are also an item in World of Warcraft?
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I was just searching on Google and I noticed that. Very interesting. Wonder if Jagex knew that before they put that in place. Of course, there's nothing wrong with that.
Never know. Blizzard has been known to kind of go a little too happy with copyright infringement.
Yeah, and I mean still. I mean, there's nothing saying that that is, you know, unique to Jagex or whatever. So, all right. Well, anything in the release notes jump out at you from this week?
In the release notes? I didn't even look at it yet. let's see. Whee! What day is today? 14th. Okay, close enough. Taking damage from poison on cast teleport animations. That's not much of a fix. That's just a minor graphical bug. Range at Alkahar's Kebab Shot now has a cook at option. Okay. And that's about it. Everything here kind of seems pointless.
There's two interesting things from my perspective here. First things first, the maximum actions that can be formed by the client in one cycle has been increased from 6 to 9. So we know that the game tick rate is 1/6, so every 600 milliseconds performs a tick. So in that time, you can perform 9 actions rather than 6, so that should make things faster, I guess, in terms of combat. So that's definitely an improvement, but still, we have to play the waiting game and whatnot before knowing what exactly is going to be going on here. That's kind of still unfortunate, but anything to speed the gameplay up is good in my view.
Okay.
And also, the price calculated by the Wealth Evaluator for several degradable and tradable items now more accurately reflects their values. I knew something was wrong with that thing from the very beginning.
When you say you had a couple hundred billion?
Yeah, it said I was worth 1.2 billion, and I had no idea how.
It's kind of taking account of your age and RS, man.
Yeah, so I mean, I just knew something was wrong there. So it's nice to see that this has been fixed. And the price I was looking for earlier, by the way, just going back to the power gloves for magic and ranged, the Razorback Gauntlets, the melee versions, are only 1.9 million right now. So in time, I would say expect the melee and mage versions to drop accordingly.
Okay, well, let's see what happens, eh?
Yep. Alright, so moving on from the release notes, Treasure Hunter Easter Egg Extravaganza. So I was just doing the daily Treasure Hunter type thing, opening up the daily boxes, and I found one of these things called a magical egg. These are very low life point healing items, 200 HP only, and interesting they call it HP rather than life points. Weird. But what they do is they transform you into one of three Easter animals, so it'll either be a chick, a bunny, or a lamb. And then, of course, you can also get the magical enchanted ones that do not disappear once you eat them. So that's RuneScape's Easter update for the year. It came in the form of Treasure Hunter rather than in actual game, which is, as I said before, kind of disappointing as I am a traditionalist. All right, moving on from that, a polling update. What do we got there?
Well, we got one new poll only. We have we have the Serene Spells and Prayers. In the upcoming Elf update, we plan to release some new non-combat spells and prayers associated with Serene. Sorry, Shane.
That's okay.
How do I pronounce that? How do I pronounce that again?
I say Serene.
Okay, go with Saren. Go with Saren. And which spell book and prayer book should contain these additions? I actually don't make. I don't care. IDK.
Now, as for me, I kind of felt the need to vote in this one, despite my despise of us having to choose Elven quest updates for people who might not actually complete this quest. So what I did say is I said the ancient book and the ancient curses because that further gates the content to the ancient spell book, which you should hopefully have to still unlock after Desert Treasure and Temple at Sentistan. And I mean, it just makes sense because the ancient spellbook and curses are currently Zaro's spells and curses, right?
Yeah, but are we trying to say that the elves follow Zaro's?
No, but remember that Zaros and Saren were one of the first two things created by the Elder Gods on this world. So they're both from the same time period. So that's my rationale also behind them being able to go in the ancient book.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, here we go. Normal spells and prayer is at 34%, 55% for ancient and curses. 3% say I don't make any, and 6% says I don't care.
All right. Seems like an obvious choice then. This week, right. Jagex has also done an around the campfire Q&A this time for lore. So that was done on Thursday. So look for in the lore form them to collate all the answers into one topic later on. But if you are chomping at the bit to figure out what was said, you can just head on over to the topic and read through all 34 odd pages, give or take there. I don't know. I always find these interesting and sometimes good things manage to slip out. I know the last time they did one of the QAs and the lore section was pretty big. I spent about an hour and a half reading the whole thing, so I will definitely do that when this gets put into a nice format.
I'll let Reed regurgitate everything.
Yeah, he is our lore expert on this show. So. Alrighty.
Okay. Next up, we have the podcast that Jagex released, Story Exposed, Part 1.
Yeah, so this is basically talking about the creation of quests and how they actually create the lore that we like. So it's kind of a view of what goes on at Jagex, not necessarily from your character's perspective, but as the perspective of the players and the content creators. So definitely have a listen to this. Their last one after the Zaros quest was pretty good as well. So you can find both of these on their Podbean page at runescape.podbean.com. Oh, and what do you know? Part 2 is also out. That just came out today.
part 2.
Part 2?
What's part 2?
Mod Mathe and Osborne continue their chat from last week's RuneScape story as they explore behind the scenes and under the hood of how RuneScape story is created. You'll find out what the golden rules are, how emergent play is considered, and the integrity of the story maintained, and what bits of the story Mod Osborne would like to change if he could. I don't know. Got to give credit to Jagex for creating these sorts of podcasts and putting together a behind-the-scenes type view of what goes on behind the storylines in addition to the weekly behind-the-scenes video. So we are happy with that.
Yay.
Also this week, BTS Video 101, Ashdale, hello. This is for a quest that's coming out next week, in which we will head back to Ashdale, which is the new tutorial area, and apparently we're going to be doing a new type of quest, which relies heavily on visuals and very lightly on textual information. So in a way, I guess that would kind of be like a modern video game, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, you don't need to read through tons and tons of dialogue, for example, if you're playing a game like, say, Modern Warfare 2 or even the old Half-Life game, you were pretty much left to your own devices as to figure out what was going on, and you were led through by the cutscenes.
Mm-hmm.
So this will definitely be an interesting one to do and have a bit of a relaxing quest period, and we kind of need a break after those last two Grandmasters, don't we?
If you say so.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for RS updates this week. Not too much to talk about, nice and quiet, specifically for the Easter week. Anything you want to mention that you noticed that was changed? Maybe hit an update somewhere? Or...
No, not that I know of.
All righty. Well, let us move on to the questions then. The first one is an audio question from Brian.
Dear Shane and Trekkie, when you hop off a bus, do you say thank you to the bus driver? Also, why are your display pictures what they are? What are they? From Brian.
I don't think Shane has ever taken the bus.
I actually have.
Right. How long? Down the block?
No. A good distance. A good distance.
3 minutes doesn't count.
No, more than that, and more than one time. So, definitely have. And no, I don't, because most of the time you get off at the back and you come on the front. So I don't see how that relates. And plus, you're already paying for it. So, and I mean, it's just part of the job. So I don't see the rationale behind that. How about you?
I do, because it's courteous.
But if you get off at the back?
You'd be surprised how people end up leaving the back and start to shout out, thank you, and then get off.
Oh, really?
At least around here, yes.
Okay.
Unless it's like, you know, 100, it's jam-packed like a sardine because they just got out of Chinatown. Yes, you know that feeling.
All right.
You get all the Asians, and I swear to God, it's like, if it wasn't a bus, you swear it was an illegal immigration scheme thing going on.
All right. So what you're saying then is that buses are... are methods of illegal immigration.
I didn't say that.
Okay. Even though it's kind of sounding like Shay. Where you were going, but nonetheless. All right.
And the second part, why is your picture the what it is? Well, mine's the generic Star Trek logo that I found a couple years ago. I just enjoy it, so I keep it. Shane's picture is a picture of Brent Spiner, also known as Data, from an episode of TNG, where they decide to do a Western theme, and, well, I guess you can say Data, the android, ended up turning into a redneck.
Yeah, through a computer glitch.
It's always a computer glitch.
I don't know, that was one of my favorite ones, I think, because it just provided a different perspective on the character, and it made use of that device so well. And, I mean, it was just in general very interesting to see. If anyone is wondering, the episode of title is called A Fistful of Datas. And took place in season 6. And lots of interesting little funny things happened along the way in it as well, because, of course, the computer issues also propagated throughout the entire system, so provided for some very, very interesting things. So season 6, episode 8. Well, unless he meant
okay.
The, yeah, right. Okay, I see what he meant by display picture. All right, we're good. We're good. All right, read us the next question.
All right, the next question is from Iron Man. Hey guys, first off, I'm sure you already mentioned this, but in the patch notes, they mentioned changing the actions per cycle from 6 to 9. Does this make combat better for you, Shane? I'm so close to 90 fishing, 100k to go, but now I need 90 herb for those joint plate voyagers. Got any tips? I'm nearly at the season 2. P.S. I'm nearly at the season 2 finale. I'll continue on without any spoilers. Can you rate the final episode out of 10? Peace out.
Okay.
All right.
You know, well, I honestly haven't done much high-scale combat since this came out. I would think it would be better, but the main issue I have isn't that we can't queue up enough actions per tick. It's that the time per tick is too long. So until that tick rate is increased to be more than every 600 milliseconds, definitely would feel as though it is going to be a bit slower than it should be.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't done any combat past couple weeks. I wanted to slay it again, I just don't have time. So, well, I don't know, I still keep mine fairly manual.
Yeah, and I mean, we do need to do that, because it just feels as you have much more control, and, you know, maybe with this tick rate increase, or rather actions per tick increase, it would be quicker to use manual than, say, revolution.
Okay.
Yep. All right, so the next one's for you, for ports.
Well, need for joint plate voyages, but he needs 90 herblore, Shane. For those joint plate voyages, he needs 90 herblore. So, well, I'm sure you've already gotten the stuff from Dungeoneering that can give you extra stuff. Only thing I can think of is do your kingdom, do it, and get the stuff, and, you know, do what's needed. Whenever you do those treasure hunter, try and get the herblore stuff, and, you know, make sure to wear all the extra herblore granting experience, those outfit that gives you like 1 or 2% each. Yeah, that will go up pretty fast.
Let me just see what we're looking at here in terms of herblore level. The RR man. 77 herblore. So that's a good ways to go still. What did we do when we were at 77? I think I did dragon fire potions. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah. I think for me, I just waited to the double XP experience and then just got Raven ready. And I did the highest one I could first because I gave the most experience. Because at the time, it was still one of the degrading ones.
Right.
And yeah, went from there.
Another thing that you could do, if you're going to be doing a good amount of combat throughout the entire time of your RS career, what I recommend doing is making a good amount of the super potions, attack, strength, defense, ranged, and magic. And then as you level up to the higher levels, granted you're going to 90 here, but by going to 90, okay, you'll be able to make extreme attack and extreme strength at 89 and 90. But through doing this, you can fund your further herb lore experience in that you will be able to make these extreme potions, and then you'll never run out of potions with whatever you're doing. That is really the best way to train herb lore these days, because you're making everything yourself. You're not going to need to buy potions again. And if you do it through being self-sufficient, that's all the better. Okay. Yeah, I'm just looking at the list. Cool. The best things to make that would be fast: anti-fire, super ranging, super magic at your current level. Don't bother with serotonin brews. Those are garbage nowadays. Once you get to 85, you can do the super anti-fires. Those are good. You just need to go near the Dominion Tower and pluck the leaves of the or the Phoenix Feather, I mean. It looks like a leaf, but you just pluck it, and that becomes the secondary for that. Those are good because provides total immunity, even to the Queen Black Dragon. So that's a good option right there.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, but my number one thing would just be self-sufficient.
Yay. Okay, then. Let's see. And what about season 2, Shane?
Oh, you know, that one ended. It was rather confusing at how it ended, and that confusion carried on into the beginning of season 3 as well. So just keep that in mind. I will say it does return to normal after about the third episode of season 3. And I don't know. The final to season 2 was okay. It was good. I'll give it around a 7, give or take.
Okie dokie. Thanks, man.
Alrighty. Well, if anybody wants to submit questions to the show, you can send them in on the forum, rsmimi.com/forums. The topic goes up on Mondays, and once you're there, you just fill it in, and we'll read what you send us on the show. Or alternatively, if you want to send in an audio question, just email them to questions@rsbmb.com. And we'll include your submission on the show. We like hearing your guys' voices. So, always nice to hear audio questions because we get to hear the accents of the world.
Okay, but you hate accents of the world.
No, they're actually good most of the time, you know?
Most of the time. Therefore, well, you remember, hate them.
Remember when you started sounding French?
A boot.
Hey, we don't say that. We don't say that.
Yeah, you do.
No, we don't.
A good time.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah. Tech news. Kepler-186f. Did you read about this?
Okay. Kepler. No, I did not.
All right. Well, the Kepler telescope has identified another potential planet. And 490 light years away this time. Whoops. And basically, this one is as close as we have seen so far to an Earth-like planet, in that it is only a little bit heavier, We don't know about the density yet, and it's only 10% larger than the Earth. Now, the star is weaker, so it would appear a bit darker, but it does lie within the habitable zone, so it potentially means that water could exist.
Yay, water.
Of course, we don't know what the atmosphere looks like yet, so once the testing comes in through seeing what kind of light's reflected, we'll know whether it's an oxygen-based or carbon dioxide-based atmosphere like the one that's on Mars. But, so
next up,
wait. What do you think? Like, are we ever going to go here? Or...
Yeah, if you want to do a sleeper ship, by the time we get there, we dead.
Yeah, you would,
we
you
haven't
would
perfected.
To...
We have not. Yeah, we have not perfected cryogenic freezing yet. By the time we get there, we dead. So yeah. You know, it's gonna be our great grandchildren, and I highly doubt we have enough food and water in the ships to last that long.
Yeah, I mean, 490 light years away. That's not far. It's not on the other side of the galaxy. It's relatively close, but further than our reach currently, considering the next star is only around 4 light years away. So, anyways, this planet takes around 130 days to orbit its star. So.
They always do a slingshot across space.
Oh, and bend time while we're at it?
Don't need to bend time, just slingshot across space.
Oh, okay, so you weren't talking about a slingshot to break the speed of light.
You do get that reference, don't you?
Yes, 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 of course.
Okay, good. Jeez. I was worried about you for a second.
Alrighty, so next up, still going strong, Sony sold more than 7 million PS4s. Compared to Microsoft's 4.2 million Xbox Ones.
Yeah, Sony's doing fairly well. What about the Wii? Wii U!
I don't know, let's see how many the Wii U has sold. I was surprised to see this figure because I always thought the Xbox was going to end up being the more successful version here, but I guess not.
It's the gimmick that got a lot of people.
What, the Kinect?
Yeah, you know, like I said, someone's going to run across the room and go, Xbox off!
Yeah, it's like those videos, you know, where somebody lists or names their character on a game, Xbox turn off, and someone starts screaming at the computer, I mean TV screen, Xbox turn off when they're talking to him, and whoop, there goes the Xbox. But anyways, as of December 31st, 2013, Nintendo has sold 5.8 million Wii U's. I don't have an updated number since then, but interesting. But let's also remember that the Wii U has also been out since 2012. So okay, they've had a good amount of time to do that, and the PS4 is moving at a faster speed than the Wii U, and so is the Xbox One, which is really unfortunate, I think, for the Wii U, because I know you and I, we started off as Nintendo people, right?
Yeah, I had Nintendo growing up.
Nintendo 64 or GameCube?
I started out with Super Nintendo.
Oh, okay. That was before mine.
Then I had the N64. Then I had GameCube. Then that was it.
Yeah. And like I've mentioned before, we were given a Wii here. We never bought our own Wii. We were just given to it on loan, and the person who loaned it to us has never come back to pick it up. So...
I stopped after PC.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really unfortunate that I think the Wii U has not generated the amount of hype that the PS4 or Xbox One has when, I mean, the Wii changed the paradigm for Nintendo, and the Wii U really could have used that opportunity to get back into the game, but they just didn't. I don't know why, which... It's kind of disappointing, But you know what I saw this week that would make me want to get a Wii U? Two things.
Mario?
The new Mario Kart game and Super Smash Brothers.
I never got into Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that was a really fun game.
I enjoyed it, but I never went all into it. I mean, when I was living in a dorm room for a couple of years, I had a bunch of dorm mates that loved that game, and I usually go hang out with them, and I have my controllers with them, and they basically broke it because you know how what happens with Super Smash with the Smash Brothers and lone
controllers. Yeah, it can get very intense. It's practically StarCraft for Nintendo, right?
But it was fun. But I just never really got into it.
Yeah. My favorite character was Pikachu, and next time we have Earth on the show, you can ask him what he calls me for playing Pikachu, but we'll leave it at that, I think. I don't know. It looks really good. Mario Kart 8 and the new Super Smash Brothers game. Let's see. Would you buy a Wii U?
No.
Why not?
We'll see. No one to. I'd rather not have the controller fly out of my hand and land into the TV screen again.
Well, these are big ones, because remember, the Wii U controllers are like a tablet.
I know, but nah.
And I think you can use the Wii controllers as well, so. Let's see, how much does a Wii U go for? Oh yeah, $300. Oh boy. Okay. That seems kind of overpriced for a Wii U, but anyways, well, that's it for, or no, that's not it for tech news. I was getting ahead of myself. What do we got next?
Next up, we have the security certification revocation awareness tests. All right, this is your show, not mine.
Yeah, so...
It's all yours, Shane.
All right, so basically with Heartbleed last week that we mentioned, one of the things that was going to be required for websites to do was to revoke old HTTPS certificates. Now, in terms of revoking certificates, not all browsers respond appropriately to this in such a way that browsers can and will use revoked certificates and not inform you about it. And this is what I mentioned last week to do in your Google Chrome browser and to enable checking for this. Because if you don't enable checking for this, you can end up going to a website that has a bad certificate. And with lots of places revoking certificates after Heartbleed, this is definitely something that browsers should be looking into, and it's a real shame that they don't. So you can go to this website that's linked in the show notes and click the big link on that page, and it will put you to a website that has a revoked HTTP certificate. And if your browser is good and smart, it will not let you access that web page. So, did you give that a test and click the big link?
No, I'm kind of scared. I was going to ding me.
No, it's not going to do anything bad to you. It's perfectly safe to click.
Cannot connect to real. Okay.
So, didn't connect it?
No.
All right. Well, that's good then. What browser are you using?
This one's on Chrome.
Good. And I just tested it on Safari, and Safari allowed access to this page, which is a real big problem for Mac users out there, since Mac users expect their system to be secure, and if it's not, well, that's a bit of a problem. So hopefully Apple will implement some sort of change for this and make it so that it's... less likely to use a revoked certificate. And once again, Firefox, perfectly safe on this page. So it looks like if you're using Firefox or Chrome, you'll be good. in Chrome, providing you follow the instructions I mentioned on last week's show. And for those of you guys who didn't hear that, all that you need to do is go into your preferences of Chrome and click Show Advanced Settings and scroll down to https/SSL and tick the checkbox, check for server certificate revocation. And in doing that, it will enable it so that the website cannot run revoked certificates. And it looks like Chrome is responding to this even when it's checked away, so that is good. I will say that. So definitely check this out and make sure you're safe online, because this is one of the ways of protecting yourself against potential bugs like this in the future and going forward, just keeping yourself safe in general.
Cool.
And so you said it was good, right?
I guess. You said it didn't show up, so I guess that's good.
Good. All right. Well, that's it for Tech News, everybody. Stay safe online.
Mm-hmm. Yay. Always stay safe.
Mm-hmm. All righty, what's next?
Well, next up, we are done with tech news, and we have the Skeleton Month update for April. And interestingly enough, Metal Maniac 9 is still in the lead, but Parnassus is not that far away. Metal Maniac gained 7.3 million experience, while Parnassus is at 6.2, and BXP Prod is at 2.9. He wasn't really about just flatlined. So, yeah, it's going to be a runner-up between Metal Maniac 9 and Parnassus. So we'll see who gets second.
And we're ranged, so I'd say that pretty much anybody in the top five at this point has a chance at catching up if they were to start training once again. I don't think it would be feasible for anyone under the top five at this point to pull the victory, considering Metal Maniac has been on a fairly linear trajectory this month. So, always interesting to watch these combat ones, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an actual competition in that, you know, we're not waiting around to see who's going to cash in with the biggest supply of summoning ingredients or something like that. And you're actually going to be able to have your feet on the ground, so to speak, in that, you know, you need to be actually running through this competition to make things happen. So that's one thing I really like about these combat skill months. So interesting to watch. Keep up the good work, everyone.
Okay.
Moving on from that, we got the achievements of the week. Just one of them this week, and that is Scream Truth with 99 Divination on April 11th.
Congratulations, Scream Truth.
Alrighty. Well, now I just want to point everyone to, again, to our RSBMB update supplemental survey in terms of where we want to go with supplemental. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and we took a break from supplemental again this week. But I will say that if you have watched supplemental, we'd like to know what you think of it. That's at youtube.com/rsbnbstaff. And basically, this is a 7-question survey with just some quick questions as to where we should go. And you can leave us some additional questions as well. And the URL is at SurveyMonkey, so you can easily pick that up in the show notes. I believe the URL is svy.mk/pmgbqq8.
Okay. All right. Let's see. And next, so anyway, I think that's it for the survey, right? So
yeah,
give us a hand.
Fill it out. Be much appreciated. All right.
All right, and then moving on next, we have this week's pick of the week, and it's something I found.
So oh, good. What is it?
I was talking to some of my IT people at work because Lord knows all of us here have never used any of the colored ink, and yet they always seem to run out, even though we've never used it. So I asked them, where's a nice, good place that's, that is, what's the word, reputable, that you can get some cheaper ink? And they told me, go to megatoners.com. It's a site that can sell third brand print cartridges for you. And, you know, I had two people, IT people in there that gave it a good thumbs up. So give it a try. And it's also secure online through Yahoo as well.
Oh, that's good.
So Yahoo kind of supports this.
Do they support inkjet as well?
I don't know. You can just check on it and see what their model is and take a look.
Yeah, let's see what kind of printer I got connected here. What is it? I know it's a Canon. MG6200. That's not listed here. MG60. Yeah, it's not listed here. So maybe it is only for that. But anyways, I guess if you're using a laser, that'd probably be good, right?
Yeah, but give it a try. Take a look. Maybe save some more money on those freaking ink cartridges that cost you an arm and a leg every time.
Yeah, I know.
As you know, Shane, usually they sell the printers at a loss because they know they'll make $1 trillion from the ink itself.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it goes. And, we knew that was the case when we saw a $49 printer, right?
I brought my $49, but it was during Black Friday.
Oh, okay. Well, was it good?
I enjoy it.
Oh, I found it. Yeah. Or no? No, maybe not. I don't know. But alrighty. Moving on from that, what have you been up to this week on RS? Or otherwise?
Oh, I went and catch some butterflies. I did my porch this week. I'm just got a new crew member and got a new captain that I am training, trying to find another combat captain so I can raise him up. And that is it for now. Did the engineering again, which was nice.
Oh, what level are you at?
Same level, 107.
Oh, okay. That's good. Anything real world?
Real world, been working nonstop and just did some midterms.
Alrighty. Well, as for me, this week, been training divination, closing in on level 95. I got 94, so that's always good. Really rushing to get out of the desert area, because I just find the desert divination training area very, very tricky to work with. And it will be very nice to actually get somewhere where I don't need to wear desert gear or a enchanted water tiara to not take damage. So looking forward to that. But aside from that, player owned ports, as you mentioned, I actually crossed the 2,000 point barrier, so you may now call me Admiral Shane12088. And I mean, same thing that RR Man mentioned. I mean, right now it's a task of finding the right story missions and completing them in order to get plate. I think I'm up to around 75 right now, give or take. So I think I only got to do the one other mission that gives it, and then complete the joint story mission. And then should be good. But aside from that, on RS, did some herb farming. I'm going to start tree farming again soon as well. So that's looking exciting, and maybe go back to runecrafting next week. We'll have to see what happens. But in terms of the real-world stuff, just doing some rather tedious programming, I guess. And, yeah, that's pretty much it that you guys would care to hear about. So, I believe that means that we are good to be done, then.
Yeah, okay, then.
All right. Well, we will see you guys next week. And enjoy the cabbages over your Easter weekend, if such a thing exists. Cabbage rolls exist, but raw cabbage, probably not.
Your cabbages!